Now we're going to start looking at the texts that we have on this 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's all going to be now according to this schema we've just looked at. And the first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, 9, verses 13 to 18. And it's quite beautiful, you see. What the translation, what human being can indeed know the intentions of God, and who can comprehend the will of the Lord? For the reasoning of mortals is inadequate. Our attitude is of mind unstable, and this tent of clay weighs down the mind with its many cares. So, see, we're dumb. And it's even hard for us to think about where our life is going. And even that's for the thoughtful people. How many people, just let me have, you know, some bodily comfort and enough money for the future, and I'm happy. You're not happy. You know, you're insulated, but you're not happy. Okay. Who could ever have known your will, had you not given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from above? Thus have the paths of those on earth been straightened, and people have been taught by what pleases you, and have been saved by wisdom. God came and told us the way to eternal union with Him. He spelled it out for us. How much of Jesus is teaching? And we're going to see, you know, this parable. What the order in your life has to be. And our Lord instructs us in that many, many times in the Gospel. How are we going to achieve our end? You know, life is short, and eternity is long. And where are our goals? What are we striving for? And so, you see, what human being can know the intentions of God? Tiskar anthropos, gnosite hulin teu, the will or the intentions of God. And who can comprehend the will of the Lord? For the reasoning of mortals is inadequate, our attitudes of mind unstable. The greatest and the smartest among us, Aristotle, that crowd even. Without revelation, we don't really get it. Because we're fallen, we're self-centered, we're putting everything in terms of ourselves, and we don't get it. That's why God taught the Jews and gave them the Torah, with all those instructions, and they brag about it. You read in Deuteronomy, when any other nation reads what we have for laws, they're going to say, what an intelligent nation. And it is an intelligent nation. How hard it is for us, you see. What is the will of the Lord? Thus the paths of those on earth have been straightened, and people have been taught what pleases you, and have been saved by wisdom. How? Well, he tells us, it is hard enough to work out what is on earth, laborious to know what lies within our reach. Who then can discover what is in the heavens? And who could ever have known your will had you not given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from above? Now, in the Summa, St. Thomas asks, you know, should the existence of God have been revealed to us? And one of the objections to that, no, we could figure it out ourselves. You know, I mean, it's a matter of reason. And Aquinas says, look, there's lots of reasons why we need what he calls sacred doctrine, the need for theology, the need for teaching from the Lord, which is the Bible, and then the trying to draw consequences from the Bible, which is all theology, if it's real. And so, the first question, he says, is on the necessity. And he says, whether it was necessary that besides the philosophical disciplines, there be another teaching. And he says, this is from the, as usual, he thinks the human disciplines are enough. Those are always, he has these objections. Then he says, but against all that is, and this time it's 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, divinely inspired, is useful for teaching, for arguing, for correcting, and instructing for justice. Scripture, divinely inspired, doesn't belong to the philosophical disciplines, which are according to reason and elaborated by human reason. Therefore, it is useful that besides the philosophical disciplines, there be another science which is divinely inspired, namely revelation. And that's what God did in choosing the Jews and dealing with them for a millennium to get them ready a little bit to understand what's going to happen when he comes among us and shows us, you know, the problem in life? Is it that we don't have enough education or enough money or enough whatever? No, it's sin. That's what holds us back from happiness. Sin. And sin is so deep that without help, we're not going to get rid of it. In fact, we're stuck in it until the Son of God himself comes. And after teaching us and encouraging us, takes upon himself all our sins and dies for them. And then he's raised from the Father so that through his body can come all divine life for the whole human race. And it comes through preaching. It comes through family. It comes through sacraments. All this divine life, without which we're never going to make it. And so that's the very first question that he's asking, you see. And so in the Book of Wisdom, you have the same thing. Who could ever have known your will had you not given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from above? We wouldn't know what to do. Proof? Look at all the civilizations that were not Jews. Some had very noble stuff. The Code of Hammurabi is very noble. But it's clueless about the last end of man. We want to just regulate human life so that as long as it exists, you know, for a day if you're born and die, or for 70 or 80 years if you're lucky. But then what? Nothing. And God says, don't you understand? I made you for eternity to be with me. Now listen to my instruction. You see? And that's why that text, blessed are you, O Israel, because what is pleasing to the Lord has been made known to you. You see? And so the paths on earth have been straightened and people have been taught what pleases you and have been saved by wisdom, by knowing. Now do you see the importance of study, of reflection? And can you see the trap of modern life? You know, this life is so fast. You know, I live outside Washington, about 30 miles. But I taught in Washington. Get in a car, drive there, less than an hour, teach, do my stuff, turn around, come home. Everything's so fast. If somebody doesn't stop me, which is what Aquinas says in that, you know, what I just read to you, it is useful, besides the philosophical disciplines, there'd be another one, which is divinely inspired. Most of us don't have the brains, most of us don't have the time to figure out what's the end of life and how do I achieve it. So God came and told us. And then, because we don't have the force, we're all in debt to God and we can't pay the debt. And this, I think I've told you, the Semitic word for sin is debt. We're in debt to God. How many of our Lord's parables, you know, the woman there, how, you know, everything's forgiven. So don't you see how much she loves because much has been forgiven her? Or when Peter says, how many times I have to forgive this guy? And our Lord tells the story about the guy who owed the national debt and it was forgiven him. And he can't turn around and let this friend go for $1,000 after he's just been forgiven the national debt. Forgiveness is the secret to achieving beatitude. Knowing what it is, asking for it, and obeying the Lord as he guides us. Why there is a church? Why there's a magisterium? Because knowledge is so important. And not everybody has the time to stop and study. Some people do, and they're blessed. I've been one. But, you know, my father didn't do this. He had to work and manage a chain of shoe stores. And he was busy, and he took the train every day down to New York, came home again, and he was a devout man. As I don't think I've already told you, you know, he prepared every Sunday by reading the Missal before we went, you know. But he didn't have time to work all this out. But he went to church, hopefully the preaching was good, and he got an understanding of the Scriptures and the way to God and how to live his life. And then the Lord has given us not only that, but a sacrament by which we can be forgiven and restored to his divine life, so that when we die in divine life, and if we need purification, we get it, but we are going to be with God forever, and there's nothing else that can satisfy the human being. Nothing. If we miss that, we will be angry and frustrated for eternity. Do you understand? For eternity. It's that important. And so, that's why when Aquinas starts this Summa, he starts with sacred teaching, sacra doctrina. And you see, the first question is whether we need, besides philosophical learning, anything else. And he says, oh my gosh, yes. Most of us don't have the time to figure it out. We don't have the brains. And we're beset with vices and drives, jealousy, alcohol, sexual pleasure, ambition. All of these cloud our minds, and if we don't have somebody pointing out to us that's not the way to achieve happiness, we'd go down those paths. Even if we kind of know better, we'd go anyway until we know the grace of the Lord and what we're supposed to be doing with our lives. We are supposed to be developing union with God so that death is a smooth transition from here to absolute, pure vision, unlosable union with God forever. And that's what we're created for. But it takes, you know, a lot of work, and it takes a lot of preaching to help people remember this. And the best advertisement is a satisfied customer. Meet a saint and see how happy they are. And then you get the idea what life is all about. Is it worth the candle, the game worth the candle, as they say? Oh, yes. Look at, you know, I think I told you the story once before, and I'll end with this story for this part. The woman down in Virginia here had a reputation of being very holy. And the bishop really wondered, you know, so he called in a friend of mine, actually, Marius McAuliffe, Franciscan, and a mystic himself and a professor of mysticism. And he went down to talk to this woman for about a half hour. And he came out, and they said, well, what do you think? What do you think? And he said, it's genuine. Such happiness could never happen except that that person be in union with God, even in this life. Does she suffer? Yes, she's crippled. She's in a wheelchair. But she's happy because she's in union with God. And that's the criterion. Not how much do you fast, not how much do you try to correct everybody else, but how happy are you? Are you in union with God? See, and that's the question. And that's worth everything. That's the pearl of great price. Our Lord says, sell everything and get that price. Get that pearl. Amen.